Let it keep. The moment when Officer Fishlips met Abdul in the police station. Rewind. See Abdul running backward, away from the station and the airport, toward home. See the flames engulfing a disabled woman in a pink flowered tunic, shrink to nothing but a matchbook on the floor. See Fatima, minutes earlier, dancing on crutches to a raucous love song, her delicate features unscathed. Keep rewinding, back 7 more months, and stop at an ordinary day in January 2008. It was about as hopeful a season as there ever had been in the years since a bitty slum popped up in the biggest city of a country that holds one-third of the planet's poor. A country dizzy now with development and circulating money. Dawn came gusty, as it often did in January, the month of treed kites and head colds. Because his family lacked the floor space for all of its members to lie down, Abdul was asleep on the gritty Maidan, which for years had passed as his bed. His mother stepped carefully over one of his younger brothers and then another, bending low to Abdul's ear.
"Wake up, fool," she said exuberantly. "You think your work is dreaming?"
Superstitious, Zerunisa had noticed that some of the family's most profitable days occurred after she had showered abuses on her eldest son. January's income being pivotal to the Hussein's latest plan of escape from Anawadi, she had decided to make the curses routine. Abdul rose with minimal whining, since the only whining his mother tolerated was her own. Besides, this was the gentle-going hour in which he hated Anawadi least. The pale sun lent the sewage lake a sparkling silver cast, and the parrots nesting at the far side of the lake could still be heard over the jets. Outside his neighbors' huts, some held together by duct tape and rope, damp rags were discreetly freshening bodies. Children in school uniform neckties were hauling pots of water from the public taps. A languid line extended from an orange concrete block of public toilets. Even goats' eyes were heavy with sleep. It was the moment of the intimate and the familial, before the great pursuit of the tiny market niche got underway. One by one, construction workers departed for a crowded intersection where site supervisors chose day laborers. Young girls began threading marigolds into garlands to be hawked in airport road traffic. Older women sewed patches onto pink and blue cotton quilts for a company that paid by the piece. In a small, sweltering plastic molding factory, bare-chested men cranked gears that would turn colored beads into ornaments to be hung from rear-view mirrors, smiling ducks and pink cats with jewels around their necks that they couldn't imagine anyone anywhere buying. And Abdul crouched on the Maidan, beginning to sort 2 weeks' worth of purchased trash, a stained shirt hitching up his knobby spine. His general approach toward his neighbors was this: "The better I know you, the more I dislike you, and the more you will dislike me. So let us keep to ourselves." But deep in his own work, as he would be this morning, he could imagine his fellow Anawadians laboring companionably alongside him.